Everything we do on a Sunday morning is planned, sort of, most of the time. There are things that happen, like losing voices, that we don't really plan that, but what happens on Sunday once we start the two-minute countdown, the video that's actually planned, we prepare that ahead, and then each of the songs and the prayers are a significant part. We do that intentionally. You know, one person once asked me, why do you pray so long on Sunday mornings? And I said, well, how long do you pray the rest of the week? And they said, well, I said, that's why we pray so on Sunday morning. We're trying to teach you that that's one of the things that you should be a part of your routine as you worship God. And one of the questions we ask is, why do we sing the songs we sing? And there is a difference between our first service and our second service, and our intent to be multi-generational, and we're a little bit more contemporary in the second service, and a little bit more piano-oriented in the first service. And we do all these things intentional. So we read the scripture, and we bring a sermon, and we are intentional about greeting. And I remember one visitor to the church came, and they visited a few times, and the last time they were here, they said, you know, I can tell that you really value fellowship in your church because you have that greeting time which goes on forever. And I don't like it. And so they didn't come back because, you know, indeed the greeting time is one of the significant parts of what happens in our church. And when we have a missionary speak, for instance, we have a missionary moment, take 10 minutes out of our service, we never take it out of the greeting time. Because greeting is part of what we do together as the Church of Jesus Christ. Because the strength of the church, ultimately, once you've gotten into a relationship with Jesus Christ and you connected with the Scripture, the strength of the church is about relationships. And nowhere is this more pointedly seen than in the passages of Scripture which we've been looking at over the last few weeks, those one another Scripture passages. They point to the truth that the church is not merely about our relationship with God, but it is about our relationships with one another. And it's possible that nowhere is that more clearly seen than in the three verses we're going to look at this morning. And I'm going to teach you three verses of Scripture. All of you today, if nothing else happens, you should leave this morning knowing three verses of Scripture. You're going to memorize them together. It begins with Romans chapter 16, verse 16a. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And then 1 Corinthians 16:20b. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And how about 2 Corinthians 13:12? Greet one another with a holy kiss. So together we're going to learn 2.5 verses, you know, 2 half verses and 1 full verse of Scripture this morning. Remember just this one sentence, greet one another with a holy kiss. All of you, say it together, greet one another with a holy kiss. Yoo-hoo! We've memorized 3 verses of Scripture. For some of you, that's more than you've memorized in years. And you can keep this one in your brain because it relates to the church. And man, is that a great news or not? Greet one another with a holy kiss. Church just became a whole lot more interesting. Turn to the person next to you and greet them with a holy kiss, if they're your spouse. Okay, let's not get too carried away there. I'm guessing that if we sought to have this as a method for church growth, what we need to do is invite all the pretty girls to church, and then all the guys will come, because they're going to greet one another with a holy kiss at Living Hope Church. All right, well, maybe that's not the best plan for church growth, especially with some of the connotations of kissing people that you don't know. I don't recommend you do this outside of the church. Just walk up to people and greet them with a kiss. That might end up with you flat on your back or, you know, bodily injury happening to you. But nevertheless, the Scripture has these 3 verses. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Does God not understand what that means in our society? Could he not have looked forward into 2015 and said, maybe we should say something different? What does this verse mean? What is the message? What are the principles that we can derive out of this simple, provocative, and unusual command? There are actually 3 different parts in this command. Okay, 4 if you count the one another's, but we're taking care of that one another with this series. There's the issue of greeting, of kissing, and the issue of a holy kiss. And we're going to look at those three different aspects of this command to discover what God would have to say to us from these three verses of Scripture today. So first, what we discover is that we are to greet one another because the church, the family of God, is to be an inviting fellowship. Within the church, we have a place where we ought to be able to look one another in the eye, where we make an actual greeting, where instead of simply waving at each other and avoiding eye contact, where we, instead of just saying, how you doing, and hoping the person is polite enough to say fine, regardless of how they are, where we actually look one another in the eye and we greet them and say, you know what, I'm actually interested in you. I'll stop, I'll come to a full stop, look you in the eye and say, how are you this morning? We greet one another. We remember one another's names if possible. We make room for one another. This is especially true when newcomers come into the church. The reality is that many of us are relationships saturated. We don't have room for more people in our lives. We've got too many people already who want to have lunch with us, dinner with us. They want to take up our time. And we come to church on Sunday morning and we want to get together in our little holy huddle that we've been involved in. And then a newcomer comes in. And there's the Word of God saying, greet one another with a holy kiss. And we look at the newcomer and we think, how can I possibly fit another relationship into my life? But we do what the Scripture says because the church is intended to be an inviting fellowship. It's similar to what happens when, well, it happened to me 6 times in my life, where a spouse comes to you and says, I'm late. You know, when Michelle says, that's okay, I'm not that hungry anyway. No, I'm not late about dinner. Well, you know, I can make dinner. Or should I take us out? No, I'm late. Oh, that late. And then there's a moment when that happens in everybody's life, from the woman who finds out that she's late to the husband who finds out that she's late. There's a moment when they think, how is this going to impact my life? As a matter of fact, a recent study came out and said that the first 2 years of a child's life are worse than the death of a spouse. They're worse than unemployment in terms of your happiness quotient. I think they're a little bit wrong. I think it's only about 6 months out of that two years. But nevertheless, that was an actual study. You can look it up. It says that the birth of a child, for the next 2 years, your life is worse. Well, that happened to me 6 times. And not once was my life worse. See, but here's what happens. The first time you go, okay, we're in a one-bedroom apartment. Now what are we going to have to do? You have to get a two-bedroom apartment. We can make room. And then the second time that happens, oh, we're in a two-bedroom apartment. Maybe we need to get a three-bedroom apartment. We can make room. You know, 2 kids is great. When you get the third one, you go, oh man, now I'm going to have to carry a baby. By the time you get to the fourth and fifth, you start thinking, I don't have any room in my heart to love another kid. There's only so much love possible. And then that baby arrives, and the doctor places the baby in your hands, and you look down at that precious, beautiful creation of God, and you give them a holy kiss of welcoming. And you'll love them and hug them and hold them. And you know what? Your heart is enlarged. And you find room. You build a bigger house or you cram more people in a bedroom. You put more chairs around the table. That's what the church is supposed to be. An inviting fellowship. When God brings someone into our family, we go to him and say, hi, I'm glad you're here. And we don't know, humanly speaking, how we're going to have possibly the room in our hearts to invite someone else into our lives. But God makes it happen because he brings someone here as a part of the family of God. And that's part of our family. And just when I thought I couldn't expand my love for my family anymore, one of them went and got married. And then another one got married. Then they started having kids themselves. And pretty soon what I thought was limited first to 2 kids, and then 3, and then 4, and then 5, and then 6, and then I got 6 grandkids, and that's the way it is in the church. We are an inviting fellowship. We open our arms and we say, I am so glad that you're here. You're going to change my life dramatically, but I am glad you are here. That's what the church is supposed to be about. Paul says, greet one another. Greet one another. It isn't, when we greet one another, it's not just a time for gossip. It's not just a time for saying, yeah, I see you. Okay, just don't talk to me. Rather, it's a time for inviting one another into our lives so we greet one another because that's what Christ did for us. And we do that as a church. which is all fine and dandy, but what about this kissing thing? You know, what's the implication of that? Well, we're not only an inviting fellowship, but we are an intimate fellowship. Each of the instructions concerning the holy kiss is exactly one sentence. You've memorized it, right? Say it again. Greet one another with a holy kiss. It's pretty simple, right? We're going to get this through our brain. You know, each of these, just one verse, it says the exact same thing, no further information. There's no explanation of what the holy kiss is, how it's to be done, when it's to be done, who benefits from it, whether it's done between the sexes or males kissing males, females kissing females, whether it is any idea what the biblical concept is based upon, what it represents. And it doesn't even tell you what happens if you don't greet one another with a holy kiss. It's not like God says, greet one another with a holy kiss or I'm going to strike you with lightning. He just says, greet one another with a holy kiss. There's no explanation. And I think the reason there's no explanation is because everybody in that generation that read this originally understood it. They were in a habit of greeting one another, and Paul's going to add this idea of a holy kiss. And if you read through the Bible and do a little study of what of where it talks about kissing in the Bible, you'll see some really interesting things about kissing. Kissing is a sign of love, respect, friendship, and honor. It is a mark of innocent affection. It is a mark of reconciliation. We see numerous examples of kissing in the Bible. Jacob kissed his father. Laban kissed Joseph. Esau kissed Jacob. Esau kissing Jacob. When Jacob thought that Esau was going to kill him, Esau kissed him. Joseph kissed his brothers after they had sold him into slavery. Aaron kissed Moses, and Moses kissed Jethro. Naomi kissed Ruth and Orpah. David kissed Jonathan. The father kissed the prodigal son. The elders at Ephesus kissed the apostle Paul. All throughout Scripture, when it talks about kissing, we see that kissing is a positive, uplifting thing, except for two times. Twice in Scripture, a kiss is used nefariously. In 2 Samuel 20, Joab uses a kiss as a ploy to kill Amasa. Now you're going to want to look that up. 2 Samuel 20, Joab kills Amasa. And the other one is one of the most famous kisses of Scripture, probably the most famous kiss of Scripture. It is the kiss of Judas betraying Jesus. There is one other time when Jesus actually talks about a kiss. He admonishes a guy named Simon for not kissing him. Simon was a Pharisee who watched as a prostitute was anointing Jesus' feet with this alabaster perfume. And Simon says, well, if he was really a prophet, he would know that he shouldn't let that woman touch him. And Jesus turned to him and said, you know, since the time I've come in here, she has done nothing but pour adoration upon my feet. And you wouldn't even give me a kiss. Just like today, in the Bible, the kiss indicates intimacy, it implies safety, it implies friendship and family. It implies that no wrong is going to be suffered. It is not normal what Joab did to Amasa. It is not normal what Judas did to Jesus. When Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss, he uses a very common activity to remind the church that we are to be an intimate, loving, safe fellowship. That we are to be beyond just a casual greeting. We are not just inviting, but we are intimate. The actual kiss, by the way, is not what is most important here. It is what the kiss represented that we need to embrace today. Paul could have written something in our vernacular, would have been something like, greet one another with a holy hug. To put your arm around another, to look one another in the eye, and go beyond a handshake. There's a significant difference between shaking one's hand and giving them a hug. There's even a significant difference between shaking their hand this way and holding their hand like this. Turn to the person next to you and hold hands with them. Then let go and turn to the person next to you and shake hands with them. It means something totally different. If you don't think this is true, turn to your spouse and say, I want to shake your hand. That's really intimate, isn't it? You know, you're sitting down ready to watch a movie. Let's shake hands. That doesn't work, does it? See, what we're looking for is intimacy, that sense of a greater sense of knowing one another, because we are not content to merely be associates. We are not content to just recognize one another. We greet one another with a holy kiss because we want a deeper relationship, and because we have a deeper relationship because of our mutual relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether it's a kiss or a hug or holding hands in prayer, we greet one another in a manner which recognizes that there is something intimate in our fellowship which would be missing were we not all members of the family of God. We greet one another with a holy kiss because the church is an inviting fellowship and the church is an intimate fellowship, but also because the church is an intentional fellowship. The scripture doesn't tell us simply to greet one another with a kiss. Those three verses add that one word, holy. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The purpose of this greeting is to go beyond vague friendliness. We are to be intentional in our greeting. We are to look for and spur one another on to holiness. And holiness is an extremely powerful thing. It is what draws us together. It's what brings us here in order that we may ourselves become more holy and we may at the same time challenge one another toward holiness. The church is not a social organization. Oh, we do social things. We get together and we have meals and we get together for fun and maybe we go drive over rocks or make quilts or play canasta or what is the other game, card game you guys play? Pinochle, yeah. The church isn't just about games. It's not about getting together and going and shooting and whatever you do with people outside of church. The church is not to be confused with the Rotary Club or the Elks or the Eagles. Ours is a holy gathering. Church is not a social organization. Although we serve meals to the homeless, we build houses for the homeless, we offer help both to those within the church and outside of the church. The church is not primarily a service organization. It is a holy gathering. When the scripture calls us to greet one another with a holy kiss, it is intentional that we would intentionally infuse our relationships with this call to holiness. That we would spur one another on to holy living. Of what benefit is it for us to greet one another with a kiss if it's not a holy kiss? If it's not a kiss which is meant to draw one another into the presence of God? The church is a holy gathering. We greet one another with a holy kiss. We look one another in the eye. We connect with one another. We stop and we wait for the answer to the question, how are you doing today? We raise our relationship to a higher level intimacy and we say, I am praying for you. I care for you. What is happening in your life? There are so many ways that this can play out in your lives. There are so many ways it plays out in the life of the church. Through inviting one another to Bible studies. That's why we have 8 or 10 different individuals in our congregation that lead Bible studies. That's why you can, if you want a couple's Bible study, you can come to one on Sunday night, Tuesday night, or Friday night by people who are led from our church who are leading these Bible studies. You want to go to a men's Bible study? We got them Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning. You want to go to a women's Bible study? We got them Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning. I think with one Friday morning also. And we get together and say, hey, are you studying God's Word? Part of that holy kiss is inviting one another into our fellowship and saying, I want to help you become more like Jesus Christ. That's why we have individuals who say, I will invest in your life. And people come to me and say, is there a young person in our congregation that I can invest in, that I can pay attention to? That's why we have individuals who have historically spent time at the cafe, not among their own generation, but the generations that, to come. And they sit with them and they talk with them and they relate with them and they guide them gently to be more like Jesus Christ, because ours is a holy organization. That's why we have the meaningful touch of prayer. That's why we gather together and we say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. You have an issue coming up, and we put our hand on their shoulder, and you see men put their foreheads together. That doesn't happen in society. I guess every once in a while it happens when somebody's won some championship. But within the church, we put our arms around one another, we pray for one another. And we do that because ours is a holy gathering, and it is a holy kiss. As we hold our eyes and we see one another, in one another, our souls and the need for sign, for just encouragement. And we look for signs of distress, and we are willing to give up our time in order to spur one another on to holiness. The Scripture says, greet one another with a holy kiss, because the Scripture knows that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to move beyond mere friendship if we are going to become more like Jesus Christ. It brings us to the call of Hebrews chapter 10, which admonishes us to consider how to stir one another up to love and to good deeds. And you can only do this as you have greeted one another, invited them into your fellowship, and you've become more intimate with them and moved beyond just intimacy to holiness. We greet one another for a higher person, a higher purpose than merely stroking one another's ego. Making sure that we don't want to just make sure everybody's glad you came. Everybody knows your name. You can go to a bar and get that. In the church, we want to go beyond that to be an inviting community which is intimate and intentional. And not merely reminding one another of our worth in the eyes of God, but we are intentional about helping one another to become more like Jesus. Greeting one another with a kiss is all fine and dandy. You can actually do that with your family and not even like them. Yep, I gotta have Thanksgiving meal. Yep, and, you know, quick kiss. And you can do that in any number of clubs. But in the church, we greet one another with a holy kiss, which implies an intentional movement towards God. Three verses you've memorized. Say them again. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's the command of Scripture. Three times. But still, some of us resist. We don't resist just because we're uncomfortable with the idea of a kiss. We're not even willing to substitute a holy hug or a pat on the shoulder. We're not even able to have eye contact with some in the church. In the church within which I grew up in, it was known for splitting, and they'd have arguments. It was a decent-sized church. It would have been a lot bigger if they'd stopped splitting and creating new churches. But they would get in fights over all kinds of weird things. And we lived in a relatively small western suburb of Chicago, where, now this is 30 some odd years ago, 40 years ago, and there weren't big malls. You know, the big malls were just starting to get built, so you went shopping, you went downtown. And I remember as a teenager going downtown and watching as leaders of the church I attended would be walking downtown on the same side of the street, and they'd look up and see one another, and one of them would cross the street just so they didn't have to greet one another. That's the way some of us are in the church, with fellow believers. We're just uncomfortable because, well, they did something we didn't like. They never made something right that we think they should have made right, which they've long since forgotten about. We've got a whole host of reasons why we think it's okay to be disobedient to the Scripture that says greet one another with a holy kiss. And that whole host of reasons doesn't matter to God. God really doesn't care about your reasons for why you think it's okay to disobey Him. What matters to God is whether you are willing to be obedient to the one another's of Scripture. It's purely a decision on our part. The Scripture says love one another, we decide. Obey or disobey. The Scripture says greet one another with a holy kiss, we decide. Obey or disobey. The Scripture says forgive one another, we decide. Obey or disobey. God wants us to be obedient to His Word. He says greet one another with a holy kiss. And doing so is good for the church and it is good for the individual. Because when we choose to be obedient to the one another's of Scripture, not only does it change the church around us, but it changes us. When we greet one another with a holy kiss, it moves us outside of our comfort zone and into God's comfort zone. It moves us out of our petty concerns and into the arena where God blesses us because we've been obedient to Him. When we greet one another with a holy kiss, it forces us to move outside of our little circle and our holy huddle and to invite others in, to be as inclusive of others as God was of us. We are obedient to the command to greet one another with a holy kiss because it creates in us a greater intimacy, and therefore it creates in us the greater opportunity for others to help us in our times of need. We greet one another with a holy kiss because as we do so, as we are inviting, as we are intimate, and we are intentional in our desire to be holy and to spur others to holiness, they in turn can spur us on to holiness. It is no wonder that the Word of God says to us, greet one another with a holy kiss. We are not an organization of the world. We are a holy organization, a holy gathering that comes together and says, I want you to be a part of my life because you're a part of the life of Christ. I want you to be a part of my inner circle. I'm willing to reveal myself to you in order that you might help me become holy as Christ is holy. You've memorized the scripture. Greet one another with a holy kiss. It'll change your church because it'll change you. Let's pray. Our gracious and almighty God, we thank you for all the one another's in Scripture, for challenging us to be obedient to you, even when, and maybe especially when, it's uncomfortable for us. And we ask that you would help us today and every day within the Church of Jesus Christ to greet one another with a holy kiss, in order that at the end of the day, you might receive honor and glory and praise, and that the world which is without a knowledge of Jesus Christ would come to know you, because we have been obedient to you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.